which we have today, it is actually a session which Andrew Poo and myself will give together. We talked for a long time, not a long time, but since yesterday when we took Prasadam together, Andrew Poo and myself, we were thinking about how should we conduct this last session. And it seemed to me that the best way to do this Dobijendya session, yes, we have to say Dobijendya now, goodbye, because the Sanatan ends. The best way to do this really is to see if there are any last questions which you might have had during the summer camp, which you wanted to pose, but which but there was no opportunity to ask them. Maybe there are some questions left over from the lecture Pankajani Prabhu in the morning or some other lectures and programs. This is a time when we can change a little bit our understanding, and we can collect a little bit the jewels which we have found at the summer camp. So we will see. These questions should not just be questions so that you say something or so, but go deep into your heart and see. I definitely have a question to Pankajani Prabhu, which I think you will be happy to answer. So please search your heart a little for questions. I will now, we will sing Jai Radha Madhava. It's a good time for you to go. Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Radha
Jai 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 Jai
वृंदावन मथुर धाम की जय नवद्वीप की जय मधु धाम की जय गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की जय भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गौर service to two Bhagavats. One of these two Bhagavats which we should serve is the transcendental scripture which the Lord has revealed, which is given to humanity from the transcendental word brought here to this world by a Guru Parampara, the line of disciplic success. And the second Bhagavat whom we could, or we should serve, is the personality in whose heart this knowledge lives. It's a pure devotee. We have now come to the end of our Samakyam, but I would like to remember with you this morning Dovijendya. Two Dovijendya addresses by Srila Prabhupada. Addresses where he said goodbye to his disciples. One was a small goodbye, and the second was a big goodbye. We only say the small goodbye. A small goodbye where I was there was when Prabhupada addressed all of us in the Vrindavan Krishna Balaram temple just before we ended our pilgrimage in India and returned to the West. We would, after the lecture, go into buses and go to the Delhi airport and from there fly either to Europe or America or from wherever we have had come to be with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan for the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So Srila Prabhupada must have felt that we were a little bit sad to leave Vrindavan, and at the end of his lecture he asked us, so, and he always did, so, how did you like Vrindavan? So all of us, knowing that in a few hours we wouldn't be any longer in Vrindavan, said with a voice full of sadness, very much, we liked so much. And Prabhupada then made a point. He said, now it is your duty, when you leave Vrindavan, to bring Vrindavan with you to the Western world. Prabhupada had earlier informed us that Vrindavan, the land where Krishna performs his pastimes, is not a dot on the Indian land map, but it is a state of consciousness which was shared or is shared by the residents of Vrindavan. That state of consciousness is that the Krishna is in the center. Western world, or Bosnian world, or Croatian world, Serbian world means where we put ourselves in the center, the world of the egos. But a spiritual world is where God is put into the center. Everything is done for His pleasure, and everything is done with Him in mind. So now Prabhupada said, you should take Vrindavan, that is this consciousness where everyone serves Krishna, Nanda, Baba, Yashoda, Sridhar, Sakash, even the trees and the rivers in Vrindavan, in the spirit of Vrindavan serve Krishna. This idea should be, he reminded us, take this with you and you will never leave Vrindavan. Prabhupada proved this throughout his life. Sometimes, it was in New York where I remember someone from the audience asked him, are you here, Swamiji? Are you with us? And he said, no, I'm always in Vrindavan. This was, so Prabhupada, the English word is, I believe, sent us off or said goodbye to us with these words. Take this consciousness with you that Krishna is in the center and you will be in Vrindavan. The second send-off or Dobijanya was the big Dobijanya. It was the time when we saw Prabhupada for the last time. It was a few months before his departure. Srila Prabhupada had come one last time to the West by airplane to see his Western disciples for what would prove to be the final darshan. He felt or he knew that he would soon leave the body, and he was in two minds in the beginning of where he should do this. One idea he had is, he expressed it like this, I want to die on the battlefield of spreading Krishna consciousness. I want to die while I do my work, that is to preach. And he had requested that we make arrangements to make his Samadhi and here on a New York skyscraper. That was one idea he had. But towards the end, he wanted to go back to Vrindavan and leave his body there. He said, Vrindavan is my home. and he went to that. But anyways, on his last journey, this was a possibility to go to the West for Prabhupada and then leave his body there. Then he was entertaining the thought or was thinking of this. He knew he would soon leave. So it was in London where he received us last time. Prabhupada Maharaj had spoken about this. We were devotees from Germany who engaged in the mission of book distribution, and we knew we enjoyed a special favor in Srila Prabhupada's mind, at least that's what we thought. So we came from Germany and we requested a personal audience, and Prabhupada granted this. And I remember when I came back, I came into the room where he received us, I immediately knew this would be the last time. I just felt it. And I was very, very upset, you can say. I was so upset that somehow I was breathing heavily, and my garment, my dhoti, just loosened and began to glide down my my legs, and it fell down. So I could, by Krishna's mercy, I noticed it, but if I would not have noticed it, that would not be good. So I quickly tied everything up, and it was all right. Then the next thing I knew was Prabhupada, who was sitting in a rocking chair, and he asked us, "So," again a "so," when Prabhupada started a sentence with "so," you knew it would be a deep sentence. So we were all looking at him, what would come now? "Have you understood our philosophy?" And he looked at us, expecting answers. So he often did this. He asked his disciples questions, and then when he tested how much they had understood, and he would then correct them if there was a need for correction, or he was satisfied with the answers. This was one of his ways of teaching. He would not only speak, he would not just only speak knowledge, but he would ask, "If you understood, tell me what you know." And then he would respond to that. So I knew that this was the last darshan, and I didn't want to say anything foolish, so I kept silence. And some of my godbrothers answered the questions, and Prabhupada was not satisfied with the answers. He had something specific in his mind. I will not go through all the answers and what Prabhupada said, because I want to go directly to the point. Prabhupada said, "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal." Wow. Should I repeat it? Because it's so deep. "First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal." He had often spoken about this. For instance, you know, this, yes, electricity in the lamp. The lamp could, in theory, be destroyed by humidity, or maybe someone takes a stick and kills the lamp. But the electricity will not be harmed. It will go on, no matter if there is this light bulb or not. So life, or the eternal soul, is not really affected by what happens outside. And I want to say this to you as a final message. My dear devotees, sometimes life is not easy in the Balkans because we are so temperamental here. We have so much emotional lives. And sometimes, without wanting it, maybe, devotees say things and they become discouraged in some ways by hearing things. But please, go back to the position of the beginning of transcendental philosophy. Don't become discouraged when you are mentally hurt, or when you are physically hurt and ill or sick. Don't become discouraged. You, as an eternal soul, are not affected by this. It's only due to the identification of the soul with the temporary body that you are affected. It's only an illusion. It's not real. So this can be practiced slowly, slowly, slowly. And one best way to practice that is when you do your service. Just continue your service no matter what the external circumstances are. Sometimes you are praised and everyone says, you are the best temple president of the universe. And at other times, everyone says, you are not even the shadow of a temple president. What to do? This is the material world. It goes up and down. It's called the world of dualities. Just like there will be always a day followed by the night, praise will always be followed by defamation or the opposite of praise. Just like there will always be, cold and hot. There will be health and there will be illness. It is natural. This is to be expected in the world. But you are the light. You are not the bulb. Bulb? You understand? Bulb? How do we say bulb? Scienza. 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 So simple. Scienza. You are not the Scienza. Not at all. You are the light. Jayur Jagannath, you are the light, not the Scienza. It's a good motto, isn't it? I'm the light, I'm not the Scienza. So these two messages I would like to give just as a thought-provoking thing. I will now turn to our Pankajanri Prabhu, who has gladdened all of us by his visit to Serbia. Please come back again and again, Pankajanri Prabhu. Do not consider us to be wild and barbarian. Please, and come again and again, come back. Two messages and two sentences. Take Vrindavan with you. Second is, live in the understanding that you are the soul and not the body, or you are the Svetla light. Svetlo and not the Siyalza. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So no questions. Why there are no questions? It is the duty of the disciple to question the spiritual master. Why there are no questions? This was Srila Prabhupada in his room in Mayapur. And this day was Prabhupada had a very, very heavy presence.
when they came in and sat down, we'd have darshan every night. Prabhupada is a very heavy, great presence. And Prabhupada was looking around and everyone. So then he asked that question, so, are there any questions? And it got even more intense. Why there are no questions? Even more intense. Kind of silence. It's the duty of the disciple to question the spiritual master. Why there are no questions? Even more intense. Everyone was scared to say something. So then somebody ventured a question. And it was a question like, Srila Prabhupada, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti says, is this a fact? Prabhupada said, you fool! It is said in this Bhagavatam and you ask it if it's a fact. This is not the question to ask a spiritual master. Even more intense. If you don't undermine, ask the pertinent question, then it will be nice. Everything is peaceful again. Talking about the consciousness and the Dham. The Dham, Prabhupada said, is a state of consciousness. And when we built the temple in Mayapur, the original temple, it's about as long as this room here. The Prabhupada's Vyasa signs on one side and the temple deity room was on the other. So they asked the Prabhupada, this is like the end of the hall, it's, your Vyasa sign will be there, but we're thinking maybe it's too far from the deity's point. Prabhupada said, there is no question of separation between me and Krishna. So I would like to see, are there any questions now? I see Madhavananda is there, Govindananda, wow, so much. Our Gospel Dean is there, Narayana, oh, he never knows, Prema Moti, Eva is there, Helena, I believe, Helena. So let us start with these devotees. Who was the first? Madhavananda. Can we give a microphone, please? A wandering, traveling microphone.
There is only one, but it's for translation.
Translation, yes. Oh, okay. So, Madhavananda, speak loud. You have you're a young man. No problem.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentioned in Jaiva Dhamma that actually Vrinda Devi is not Bhakti Devi, and Bhakti Devi is actually Vishnu Priya is Bhakti Devi. And I want to ask who is Bhakti Devi in Krishna Vrinda?
Bhakti Devi is I'm talking that I noticed. Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani in Krishna Lila. Bhakti Devi is that divine energy. She is a personality, but if she empowers someone, she empowers someone with bhakti. And that means there is knowledge all of a sudden in his heart, and all of a sudden he will find transcendental bliss or great happiness in the heart. So Srimati Radharani is the personification and her expansion is bhakti. When you pray to Srimati Radharani, you can ask, please give me bhakti. And then the beautiful goddess of bhakti, Bhakti Devi, will come into your heart and enliven it. You can see on the altar, Srimati Radharani has raised one of her hands for blessings. And her blessings is this to the devotees in the world, the blessings of bhakti. So
So in Gauranga Lila, she is Vishnu Priya, but he didn't mean Vishnu Priya. Or comes from Vishnu Priya, or is Vishnu Priya. And Krishna Lila, she is Srimati Radharani. I made an operation on my Bibek. See, there is Tulasi, Maharani, Vrinda Devi, and then it said here Bhakti Devi. But I myself am very useless in these things, so I gave it to a person who knows how to do these things. I removed Bhakti Devi here because it's a common misunderstanding amongst devotees that Vrinda Devi and Bhakti Devi and Tulsi Devi are one tattva. Vrinda Devi and Tulsi Devi are one tattva, but Bhakti Devi is an extra tattva. She is an extension of Srimati Radharani. Beautiful Vedic now. Good, if there is, please let us hear the next question. Hold the hands and Govinda Nandan.
My question is regarding the lecture of the Janitor. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can just do the question for the when he spoke.
When you spoke.
Yes,
you can spoke. Address it directly.
Yes, the morning lecture. And describe wonderfully how we should help ourselves in Krishna consciousness, which we are practicing everything for the service of Krishna. I had one thing that bothers me. Sometimes it is not easy to practice Krishna consciousness because of the habits and patterns that we use to function, and we do not consciously see that we act from the habit or from some pattern. So my question is, do we need to make it conscious to be able to deal with it, or the process of chanting and devotional service can cleanse it without necessarily make this unnecessary unwanted habits and patterns conscious?
If you're aware of it, that's better. This is called Ananda Nivritti. The Anandas will come up and you'll be aware, you become aware of them, because the mind is now becoming peaceful in the moment of goodness. So then you become aware of these things. If you're aware of it, then it's easy to address it, obviously. The chanting Hare Krishna will take care of everything. All the good qualities of the demigods will appear sooner or later. But better sooner than later. So if you can identify it, then you can work on it specifically. The best way to spot these anandas is regulation. You make your life regulated. Then when you're doing the same thing, same time every day, then when something new comes in, you'll be able to spot it. But if you're not regulated, you know, and things are coming all the time this way, that way, better to be regulated is a good way to be able to perceive these anandas.
Wonderful answer. I just read, by the way, and you will like this, Pankajana Prabhu, and also Govindananda. Prabhupada wrote, regulation is the foundation of spiritual life. So, any other people, please? Yes, Prema Mochi Prabhu.
I wanted to ask you, Pankajana Prabhu also addressed it in the morning lecture, and your Vahar is also speaking about it, how to control our mind. And Pankajana Prabhu, he was speaking very nicely how to detach ourselves from the thoughts. But your Maharaj also said that you had example that changing those desires, in attaching them to Krishna, that you can spiritualize them. So Can you please a little speak about that side? How can you really change those desires? And can you not just push them down under the carpet, but really transform them? Because I saw that when you are pushing them under the carpet, they sometimes arose after some time and then make a mess. So how to properly handle them?
The psychotherapist C.D. Jung gives a very interesting example for what happens when you repress and suppress desires. He says that this will be like a shop owner. He has in the shop window all the items which sell good, and the items which are not selling so good he puts in the cellar. So in the same way, we as human beings tend to somehow project a very good image to the world. We are very good, we are very intelligent and beautiful, and we are knowledgeable. This is what we want to show the world, this type of face. But it may not be so, and we may have desires to watch a football play, Brazil against Germany. Oh, I could die to see this. We may not be so in the way we present ourselves to the public eye. Now, if you have these desires and they continue and you just suppress them, put them in the cellar like the shop owner, because we know this doesn't go very well with the public. So after some time, these little things come like gremlins. Gremlins is the ghosts up the cellar staircase, and then they jump into your shop window, and everyone sees, look at him, he fell down. It's called a shadow breakthrough in psychology. Or suppressed desires, which are also there, which were not dealt with, are just violently demanding attention, and we do something really foolish, you know, really foolish. And we can't understand why we could do this. No one can understand. It's very simple. It's something which we were not dealing with, and it came up. It is very normal in psychology. So prema murti, and it's very normal in human experience. I can see with my eyes about 10 people here who had a shadow breakthrough, and everyone was going like, how is it possible? But I can see 50 who did this where no one noticed, because they were able to keep it hidden from the public eye. It is normal. So how to deal with this in a public, in a responsible way? Krishna, Narottamdas Thakur says we should engage these propensities in Krishna's service in an intelligent way. Lust and greed, I'm speaking now of the intense ones, can be engaged to hear more. I always tell the devotees, become a nectar hunter, not a woman hunter. It's better. It will be better. And become a nectar hunter. Become just very intense. I want the nectar. I want the nectar. Nectar has to come to me, you know. And this will be better. This will be better than to be a woman hunter. And other things, you know, I don't want to just put it on. There are many things which one could do. Krishna. So you have to, it's like Pankajanri Prabhu said, it's good if you become aware of what is there and then engage it in a responsible way in Krishna consciousness. And my suggestion to you is, listen very carefully now. Now I will say something which you will not like to hear. My suggestion is talk about it to someone, bring it out, talk to someone you can trust and who is trustworthy and who doesn't put it on the Serbian internet immediately. And get some advice, some spiritual advice. How to deal with this? How can I transform this? Don't keep it for yourself. When you are able to entrust this to one devotee, already half of the battle is won. Half of the battle is won. There's a magic in this, revealing one's weakness to a trusted devotee. Not just, you must be very careful. We want a trusted devotee, a confidential devotee who is applying the wisdom of yesterday's 5 o'clock session. Don't talk so much, don't find fault, just be respect the others and don't become what's the word for this?
The pH.
Don't become the pH of others' mistake by talking about them. Do you understand this? There's lots to be said about this. You have to become a student of the Vedic way. I talked a lot about transformation of emotions there a lot, because it is a very important subject matter for spiritual people.
Yes, please. The revealing of one mind to someone in confidence, that's superior. That's one of the 6 symptoms of love. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If the desire is there, and there's 3 things. One is to suppress it, and one is just to go for it. So the liberals say don't suppress it, because it's going to blow up. But first you have to consider, is it favorable for Krishna consciousness or not? If it's not, then you've got to suppress it. You have to. So it's really a question of tolerance. How much you can tolerate that thing, how much does it mean to you? If you can't tolerate it, then you have to address it. So then we have to address it in our framework. You know, intoxication is sex, maybe even gambling. That space, that area we have is a big area. And then you address that in a way that is recommended, you might say, by Krishna or through the scripture. That is religion. How to regulate those desires. That's religion. Material religion. But if you can dante it in Krishna service, this is what we actually want. So tolerate it as much as you can, right? Then when it needs addressing, how to address it, how does Krishna say to address it? Directly or through this scripture.
Who is the next devotee?
We know that here in the park, the soul is staying, also super soul is staying, and also the mind is staying. How we can for sure know that this inner voice which is coming from heart is coming from super soul and not is coming from material mind, unqualified mind, so that we can act in a proper way, not in a wrong way. Also within other.
When you ask this question, if you have to ask this question, then it's a mind. It is a super soul you're going to know. We don't know it is a mind.
This is a wonderful devotee. He speaks concise. We have to be very attentive. There were other devotees, please. If Abhinanda now takes some marriages, yes, ma'am.
We were talking a lot about crossing the river, and I was just visualizing it and wondering, since we are not taking the body, we are not taking the mind and intelligence. So, what about the character? Will we even recognize each other in the spiritual world?
I will translate your question in a more general way. At the time of death, when we leave the body and the mind behind, body and mind behind, what happens with our character? And then another question. When we, suppose we go to the spiritual world, will we recognize each other? Will we say, oh, I remember you were the surgeon, like this. Will we recognize in some way? And when you are, let me first of all get the understanding correct. When the soul leaves the body, it will take with him or with himself the subtle material mind, the impressions, and of course also the conditioned nature, which is composed out of the mind, the ego, the intelligence. He will take this with him. Now when the soul and enter into a new material body, now when the soul leaves the material world altogether and does not take on a new material body, then listen to this. He will burn the mind, the subtle body. All these sanskaras will be burned. The example has been given of firewood is burned by the fire, or in a healthy digestion, food is digested or burned in a way by in the stomach. So in the spiritual world, good news for you, you won't have your material mind there, you know, and your conditioned nature, it's burned, it's gone, it's not there. You will be a purified soul. Then there will be no things. There will be also no remembrance of the material world. All this, what is now so important for you, is gone. You know, it's in that way, we will not recognize each other like this. I remember talking about this with the devotees when John Lennon and his partner or wife, I do not know how to say, Yoko Ono, they were. Do you know John Lennon? No need. Very successful singer, leader of the music group, the Beatles. He came to Srila Prabhupada with his wife or partner, whom he was very affectionate to, and said, Prabhupada, can you bless us that we will be together in the spiritual world? Yes, you know, to recognize us. And Prabhupada said, it's not the business of the and he indicated that this is not, you have one relationship. If I believe it or not, you have one relationship to the perfect personality that is Krishna. And that relationship, or Srimati Radharani, and that we want to develop. And through that relationship, you will know the other pure servants very much. May I just say, Devaprastha, and are you leaving us? Good. I have a very, very beautiful thing for you and your wife. I want to give you.
We would say to our lunch.
Wonderful.
I also have a question.
Soon you will ask a question. There will now be another Mataji, and then afterwards, you will ask. Yes?
How do we avoid the regulation becoming a double tea?
How do we avoid that regulation becomes a dull routine? I would really love to ask this question to Puranga, to Pankajangri Prabhu. It was my question also. And I want to ask Pankajangri Prabhu, because he and his brother are our long-term pujaris. And pujari work really means every day. At the same time you get up and you do certain procedures and ceremonies. And I was really wondering, I wanted to ask this question to you since a long time, Pankajangri. And now our Bhakti has asked this question. Thank you very much. It's a very good question. It's my question also. I think all of us would love to hear the answer. So how to avoid that routine or even regulated life becomes a dull... how to avoid that a regulated life becomes a dull routine?
Although you may be doing the same things at the same time every day, every day is always different, isn't it? Every time you do something, the same thing, but it's always a different mood, a different... The best thing, but we have to be advanced in consciousness, is to be in the present. But this service that we're doing this for Krishna. We're cleaning this paraphernalia, because it's Krishna's paraphernalia. We've got to clean it the best. Whatever we're doing, whether it's directly Krishna or indirectly Krishna, we have to think that this is service to Krishna. He's the best person, so we should do it in the best possible way. So we absorb in the service, but the service is for Krishna. When it's indirect, we absorb in that service. The service is Krishna's service, so it's Krishna's seeing us, even though we may not remember him at that particular time. It is a problem for the especially the young people when they become pujaris, because they see, you're doing this tomorrow, the next day, they don't see any end. But generally we like some result. We're result oriented, and it's always good like that to be result oriented, because if you want to say, one has to be in order of goodness, which is a rare commodity, Satyagun. So then what we generally do to inspire and ourselves is to talk of the next festival which is coming up, how we can improve the next festival and how what we can do expand. So it gives them something, an end. There's an end in sight, there's an objective. So this way we have to keep them encouraged, something like that. But it's just a question of advancement, otherwise it does become... If you're not conscious of what you're actually doing and why everything, then it does become repetition. It's a question of advancement. You have to pass through that stage.
I would just like to add to this something which Pankajangri Prabhu said yesterday in his lecture, which I also wanted to, which I have repeated in different words in my own lecture. What you need to really do so that your life becomes fresh in whatever you do and does not become a routine day after. There's a song in America, Monday the same, Tuesday the same, Wednesday the same, Thursday the same, Friday more of the same, Saturday much more of the same, and Sunday again the same. that, you know, this is a song. It is presented by a fox with G, you know, this musical group. It is echoing what the materialist sees and he lives his life. It's he is so dull and so on. So Pankajani Prabhu said in his lecture something which I, and now in his answer he mentioned this in one word. You have to come in the presence. You have to see, what am I doing just now? This moment. And when it is something, and then you will see, well, I'm actually doing this for Krishna, or in an indirect way, it is in connection with Krishna, because my life is in connection with Krishna. I'm his devotee. So then you bring some light into the dullness. It happens to me in kirtan. Sometimes, you know, I do so many kirtans and always the same melodies. It starts slow, but in the middle it's a little faster. In the end it's super fast. Then Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and Jai Om Vishnu Pai. Again. And I have to sing sometimes for 2 hours non-stop. Oh, again, 2 hours. How will I survive these 2 hours? Everyone thinks I'm an advanced devotee. I'm not. I'm so bored. This is so. I would rather like to read something or talk with my God brother and so on. But then I do this trick from materialism. I'm going into the present. Wow, I'm singing now the Hare Krishna mantra. Now I'm singing Hare. Ooh, it's the name of Radharani. Krishna, name of Krishna. How could I forget? I was thinking about slow, a little faster, super fast, and Hari Bol. But this is the name of the Lord. This happens when you go, when you bring your consciousness into the present moment. Because this is a new point for us here in Serbia, I wanted to again say it. I know that about 50% of you will forget this, but 50% will remember it. And when you remember it, act in the presence. Be there in what you do. Be connected. Don't be disconnected. Don't think of what you will do in the future, of what you have done in the past. Just be now there and you will see miracles in your life. It's so simple, but things, spiritual things, the real truths are extremely simple. So I have taken my time. Now the next question goes to Pankajani Prabhu. Deva Prashna Prabhu, please ask your question.
I apologize if this question was already asked in one of the previous lectures during this camp. But I spoke with a devotee who revealed his mind to me, and I also found that I have the same problem. And it's about losing taste for chanting. Is there, or would you please be so kind to give us some practical steps how to, again, regain our taste for chanting?
No, Namacharya. For the soul, I will give you a method which is foolproof. It will work. Maybe some strong Govindananda, and you are the man of flip charts, you can help Nityananda Kari. It has to do with don't tell your name, I know it. Dira Prashanta, what other name? This is the best name. Yes. Dira Prashanta. I have watched you chanting over the summer camp. I didn't have other opportunities. And I was thinking, if dear Prashanta would ever ask me how to get taste in this japa, I would tell him this. So now you are asking, and that's why I'm taking the question.
Do we have a working pen, please?
Yes, yes.
These are mountains. This is a river. This is the back. Oops.
The river of the holy name is coming since time immemorial here into the world as the most merciful of Krishna's incarnation. The name is there, it is chanted by great devotees like Narada Muni, Sanat Kumar, Lord Shiva, and so on. It is a river of nectar which is there. Now here is Dira Prashanta. Sometimes he tries to run away from the chanting of the holy name. The mind goes away. Now, if you chant Hare Krishna, 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 Berg, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Situationski, Timachamski, Salasarayevum, and so on. This is the mind goes away from this chanting and goes somewhere else. So what you need to do at the very beginning of your chanting, you need to turn and go to the holy name, this other direction. And the way you enter that river is you must concentrate your attention on the on where the river begins for you. That is the first hari, or to say it in Pankajangri Prabhu's very, very expert philosophy, in the present, what is going on now? Hari is going on. There you bring hari. You connect with this. And as you do this, the first hari, in the beginning, it will always be, you can only do one hari at a time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. In the beginning, just only the first hari, not more. You are a beginner. You do simple work, the first hari. Then as you enter the river with the first hari, you will soon be in the river. He's a little half in it, half, not fully. But after some time, when you are entering into this river through the first hari, you let go of everything else. No technique any longer, no longer being in the presence. You just float in the nectar of the holy name. This is the Prashanta. You just go like this, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare. Sorry. This is, I made it super simple and tried to even make an illustration so that Kishori will be proud of me, that I'm also a painter. But this, let us now speak very philosophically. The mantra is there, but you are not there. You have to connect, and you do this through a simple concentration exercise, the first Hari. And after some time, it will work. The mantra will catch hold of you, and then you can let go of any technique and just swim in the nectar of the holy name. There are many other techniques. Come to a Japa retreat. Many are given, Giriraj, Maharaj, and everywhere. But this is a simple mantra for immediate application. Thank you so much. Someone in the room is doing Reiki here. I'm almost free from pain. Whoever it is, thank you very much. Ooh. Good. Question, please. Mishra Puri.
Yes. I have basically two questions connected in one.
He knows more than me. Please ask him. Because I can't just. I just talked on one.
Well, someone, if you want to directly direct. Address Maharaj. Someone else can ask a question, you can ask the next one.
Yes, okay, okay. Let us park yourself. Now, another question. Here, our Prabhu. Your name is Deva. Deva, Deva. Deva, Deva. Yes.
I have read in Shastras one interesting statement that. Impersonalists know that he is internal, and devotee acts as internal. And I can find myself that I know I am internal, but very often my acting is not like I am internal. So how to switch? How to switch from knowing, maybe knowing, that we are eternal to the side where we are devotees, we act.
Deva Prabhu asks, he heard that once in some book he read of ours, that the impersonalist only knows that he's eternal, but he doesn't act. The impersonalist. The impersonalist only knows. Whereas the devotee knows and acts on the eternal platform. But he is asking himself, how I can make my theoretical knowledge that I'm eternal practical and act really that I'm an eternal servant, eternal soul in the service of Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. 16 rounds and follow the four ways of the principles. We can't understand eternality. We can't understand eternality. How will we understand it? With the intellect? With the mind? With intelligence? It's beyond that. You can't actually understand the eternality. You can experience it, but you can't understand it.
Thank you. very deep answer. Some mistake. I remember once there was a very important person, Graf Durkheim, Baron Durkheim, who asked the same question to Srila Prabhupada in a different way. He said, how do you make your students practically realize that they are eternal? He had an experience in the Second World War that he was shot by some bullets and came down on the battlefield, and then he left his body and saw his wounded body, which was put into a big plastic bag and removed from the battlefield. He could see it all as a, from an observer position. He followed. So he said, during this moment I understood I'm different from the body. But how do you make your students understand that they are eternal? So Prabhupada said something like Pankajani Prabhu. Pankajani Prabhu, you have to see, his answers are very spiritual. Prabhupada said, I just tell them what Krishna says in the Gita, that's all. For the whole group, that's all. You don't give them a meditation technique, you don't some technique. No, I'm just telling them, that's all. Because it's a fact that mind, which is material, cannot understand the spirit. But the spirit can reveal itself, spiritual knowledge. Ishvara Puri, I will go there the next one.
Guru Maharaj, we know, at least theoretically, we are not this body. We know that you are not this body, theoretically. And we are also taught, and in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, he says we should not set the foolish questions as disciples. My question is related. I wanted to ask it yesterday on disciple meeting, but I didn't. And later I got the same questions from another some friends. The question is, how are you? We see the something in your arms and head, and I don't know. So, how are you? How is your body? What can we do? We know that Srila Prabhupada, when he didn't feel well, that disciples were praying. So we are asking, what can we do?
I can tell you personally, it's not really in a public forum like this. Yes, I think our philosophical gospody, we have not given you a chance. I just remember, would you like, is your question still relevant, or is it answered already? I saw your hand was up in the beginning, and it's unfair to not take you. Please ask your question. But try to be brief. This is now your chance to, in three sentences, you will make it. No problem. Three sentences.
So it was a question from the lecture Pankajagar Prabhu on Thursday.
To Bhagavad Gita 7.5, Znanje o Absolutu.
7.5, the knowledge of Absolute.
Pankajagar Prabhu je na toj lekciji dva puta pomenuo set pitanja.
Pankajagar Prabhu two times mentioned the set of the questions.
Ko smo mi, koji je naš stvarni položaj?
Who are we, what is our constitutional position?
Šta je materijalna energija?
What is material energy?
I zašto patimo ovo materijalno
svijet? Why are we suffering in this material world?
Isto ova pitanja je postavio Srila Sanatana Goswami Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
The same question Sanatana Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
U čemu je značaj ovih pitanja?
What is the substance, what is the importance of these questions?
I zašto ih je Sanatana Goswami postavio, iako je bio veoma učen?
And why the Sanatana Goswami questioned them when he was so learned?
Well, he said people are calling me learned, and I'm believing it sometimes, but actually I don't know who I am. So therefore I'm asking you. Well, he didn't actually, of course he got great instructions, but at that time, particular time, he said, I don't know whether I'm this mind, the body, or the intelligence. But whatever I am, if I think I'm this body, then I'm using this body in your service. Whatever I am, whatever I think I am, I don't know who I am, but whatever I think I am, that I'm using in your service. That was his position. So that's what we do. Whoever we are, whatever faculty we have, we use that in Krishna's service. If we're the body, we use the body in service. So sometimes the soul is called the body, sometimes the soul is referred to as a mind, sometimes it's a mind. And so whatever it is, whatever we identify with, that we engage in Krishna's service. Then it's simple. Then everyone can engage in service. Not you have to wait to come to an intellectual or spiritual platform before you can engage in service to Krishna. By Mahaprabhu's mercy. Whatever situation you're in, from that platform you can serve Krishna. Without even knowing, realizing who you are.
Hare Krishna, I now see the time factor. Do you also see it?
No.
It's 9:20. It's a very enlightening question and answer session, but time is also there, no? We can maybe go. I saw Goran all the time, and then Kripa Sindhu.
Kripa Pala.
Yes. So first Goran.
Thank you very much, Pankajari Prabhu. As a pujari, you have lilas in the days. Can you share something?
Nectar at last. Nectar, yeah. I'll tell you one. A young boy from Bengal ran away to Bollywood to become a movie star. Didn't quite make it, but he ended up washing glasses in a tea shop. But fortunately, that tea shop was right outside our Juru temple. Somehow or other, he found time to go in because he used to work from morning till night and sleep on the bench. But he met the devotees and decided this is a better life than what I'm living. And he joined. So anyway, they said, you go to Mayapur, you're from that side. So he joined the Bhakti program. He was there for a few months. Meanwhile, his mother and father, they were frantic, his only son. So they were searching all over the place and making finds, they couldn't find him. Then one relative came and said, hey, we went to Mayapur, Chandradoi Mandir, and we saw your son there. He had a shaved head, but he walked like him. I think it was uncle. I think it was him. So immediately he came down to Mayapur and made inquiries in the office, but they couldn't find any information of the son. And the whole day they were searching here, there, asking, but nothing. In the evening, during the Sunday Aarti, then she's after, we have the Singhadev Aarti there, we have the temple. So she was praying to the Singhadev. Prabhu, last time I came here, I was also chanting Hare Krishna with everyone. But now, my life is almost left me, my only son has left, I can't take any happiness in life anymore. Lord, if only you would return my son to me, then I would also raise my hands and chant Hare Krishna. As soon as she finished praying, her son walked between her and the singing and stopped. And they became raised by it, they became initiated and they started now not singing. Sing by Ramki.
Kripa Pala.
Ja mislim da je već Goran ne predupisuju. Jer sam imao kompletno identično pitanje.
He had the same question.
A pošto nas jako zanima žuta sa štampa.
Because we are interested in yellow pages.
Možda da Paka Jagri Prabhu još koju.
Ili Paka Jagri Prabhu can say one more.
Yes, Monica, please.
Hey, Ram Jaina. You know this one. You like.
You are here.
Yeah.
You won't
be here. In Mayapur, Rajapur, 5 kilometers from our temple in Mayapur, is ancient deities, self manifest deities of Lord Jagannath. On the Sanyatra, that's the biggest festival because generally they don't observe Rathyatra in Vrindavan because Rathyatra is bringing Krishna to Vrindavan. So Mayapur is not different from Vrindavan, so generally they don't observe. But because of the devotees' love for Jagannath, they've made one. But anyway, on Sanyatra, that's the biggest festival. Before we had the temple, they used to worship Jagannath on that specific day. That was the only day in the year they would cook for him. His worship was very low. But everyone can come and pay the deity, and there'll be big prasad distribution, thousands of people come, a lot of people. And one devotee took some prasadam, and he took one cup of prasadam for his friend, who's a rickshaw driver, but he's a Muslim. So he gave, take this Jagannath prasadam, we don't eat food from idols. Next morning he came back and offered some items of worship to the pujari, please offer this to Lord Jagannath. And can you give me some prasadam from yesterday? So he thought, well, I can give you some fresh prasadam, just made an offer. No, I want from yesterday. He said, how come you want yesterday's prasadam? You're making your Muslim? What's going on? He said, well, actually, yesterday I had that prasadam. He said, I made a great offense. And it almost cost me my life. Last night, my dream, this white one. He threw me on the ground. He jumped on me and started beating me and pounding me, very angry. He said, I will finish you. I said, no, don't kill me. He said, yes, you deserve to die. He said, very angry. He said, please have mercy. Mercy? Mercy? You're asking me for mercy? My brother is the most merciful. He's so merciful because you rascals cannot see him. He's appeared as a piece of wood. He's so merciful, he saved you right to the end of the Kali Yuga. And you especially worship him by honoring his prasadam. And you had that prasadam, and you threw it, and you're asking me for mercy. Ask for your mercy. I'll give you a new body. This is a mercy. Oh, a mercy. He said, then the yellow one, she was laughing. She said, very good, kidding. He's also laughing. He said, no. I think he's landing there something. So then they managed to have some prasadam from yesterday and he took it for free. Pujari was he was dressed in the deity, and he put on these necklaces from the deity, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the necklace, the last necklace fell off. So he was, he picked it up and fixed it again. Again it fell off. So he put it on, fixed it very securely. Again it fell off. What's going on? He picked it up, the giant spoke to him, said, "I don't want any more, don't you understand?" Small temple, hardly anyone was going there. So he told the chowkidar, the guard, that look, I'm going to take rest, and I got a fever, and I'm really sick, and I won't make the deities up at 4 o'clock. No one's coming out, and there's no other pujari there this time. I'll wake them up late when I need some rest. So don't wake me up. I'm not going to. So then he took rest, and in the dream, Jagannath came. Uddi, what's going on? You have a little fever, and you want to stop our service? You're not too sick to take your shot. You're doing your bhajan. He said, love kirtan. You're not too sick to do those things, but our service, you're too sick. Come on, get up, get up. And he walked out. But he said, I was really wiped out. So then he went back to sleep. So a little while. Hey, wake up, it's 4 o'clock. There's a guard. He said, I told you don't wake me up. Come on, you got to wake me up. Oh, this is too much. Too many moments. I have to wake. So he got up. And he was awake, Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath spoke to him. Actually, we'd like you to do our service. We'd like you to do our service. The other pujari, he's very absent-minded. He's not very careful, you know. When he's dressing us sometimes, he's pinning our clothes, and he sticks a pin in us. Yes, you pull out my chali, you'll see. Pull the chali, and so it's got a plan on Jagannath. And that's what I keep.
Let me ask a question to Marvamuni. Marvamuni, how is the personality situation? Is it ready or
there was no offering yet.
No offering, so we have. Let us please see, because I know you have to catch a bus and all this. What is
it? It will be in 30 minutes.
So we should continue a little? We can continue a little?
Yes.
Good. Yes. Our last chance. Yes. So maybe we can ask Pankajani Prabhu to tell us one last story about the deity. Yeah?
Yes.
And then we can continue with any other questions. We have about 20 more minutes, but then I know devotees will have to go. I know it. And okay. Yes. Sorry, we are milking you. Goran started all this.
One time, Vijaya was sitting in front of the temple, and then one man came running in and said, Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Where did they go? He said, who? He said, those two boys. And no one came in. He said, hey, I was right behind them. They just ran through it. You didn't see them. You didn't see one was a little dark, one was a little light. No, what happened? He said, well, I got in this orchard. This is an orchard, mangoes and jackfruit. So he said, the one. He said, I saw the boys, they was up the tree stealing my jackfruit. And I shouted, hey, hey, I shouted, and they snatched the jackfruit and ran away. You didn't see them? I was right behind them. He said, they jumped down the tree so quick, and one of them tore the cloth. It was a very special cloth, very strange, very ornate. So he said, hey, let me see that. He said, that's Jagan's cloth. When they saw Jagan had a ripped charter, then they found the jackfruit on the side of the temple.
Rajput, it's all from Rajput, the Jagannath temple, near 5 kilometers, I believe, from our Sri Lanka. Beautiful temple. You must go there. Pankajangi Prabhu has now shared different leelas of these deities, and I heard they are very merciful. Many devotees have reported something. Alright, so other questions are there? Let me see. I can see there is one Marzi in the back who has not yet asked. Sorry? And here is Helena. Yes, Marzi in the back, speak loud.
Yes,
How could we explain to our children what is the Kadash and why should they observe it? Follow it, so that they can understand.
I have heard, and let us double check with Pankajangri Prabhu, that children under the age of 5 years do not require to follow Ekadasi rules of no grains. Is this correct, or maybe I'm wrong?
I've heard of an age around that time.
Yeah, because the children, it is even said, children can't sin until because they are not yet developed to understand these things. What I would do, I would see, because it makes cooking easier, to just to serve them Ekadasi Prasadam, and if they are satisfied with Ekadasi Prasadam, then it makes everything very easy. However, if they are not satisfied with Ekadasi Prasadam, big children, like 15 years, 11, like this. Now I will try an answer. You better get this discussed with parents also, who have such children. I will just tell them the thing that the Lord has given 2 days in a month, which are very special days where a lot of mercy comes. All he asks is that we take a little regulation and for his pleasure make a little sacrifice. And I would say sometimes you have a friend, and the friend may ask, oh, can you give me this? And then you give it to him because he's your friend. So I would see like this, but I must say this is the first time where I have heard about this question, and I recommend you to talk to parents who educate children, because it may be a little bit more difficult than that. They may demand to eat non-ecology preparations, and what to do at that time, you have to ask educating people. I have no experience in this. Mm-hmm. Next question. Sorry. Uh,
Pankajani Prabhu just says, one can tell these children the story how the Papa Purusha, the personification of sin, enters for one day into the grains, and then you take them in your mouth. It's like taking a frog in your mouth who is poisonous and who can kill you. Something like that. This is a heavy, heavy song. Maybe you need to moderate it a little bit.
I have a question regarding this alto-figureness, which was in the first section of the Secrets of Kirtan. And we stated, I think it was the day before yesterday, that very few people actually want to go back to Godhead, because we are not so good at crying for Krishna. So my question is, what are the symptoms that we are on the good way of spreading the tears for Krishna? How do we know that the next stage is
then
crying for Krishna?
Mm-hmm. I see more and more devotees leave, and I really don't want such a beautiful festival to end like this. At the end, there are five devotees left. So this will be the last question, and we will ask Pankajanri Prabhu to answer it, and I will also answer it in a very brief way. So let us repeat the question for all of us, and please, you stayed so long, just try to, it will be the last question. And those who have more questions, they can make appointments with Pankajanri Prabhu and then can ask them in a private session. But it is really so, if everything becomes so restless if everyone leaves. So please stay for this particular question. It is an important question. So the question is, once again, for all of you in the Prabhupada says in the first canto of the Bhagavatam that most of the people are not eager to return back to Godhead. He says only a few men actually want to go back to Godhead. Our Madhati is saying this is so because we are just not eager and we don't cry for Krishna. There is no eagerness. And now how can we see that in our spiritual journey we are actually developing this eagerness? What are the signs of developing eagerness? And Pankajanri Prabhu will answer this question now.
The lack of eagerness generally comes from a lack of hearing about the spiritual world. The more you hear about the spiritual world, Krishna's pastime, then the more you should be eager to go there. The problem with not eager is because we think life's not so bad here. We're doing okay. That's the main problem. We're not very anxious to leave this place behind. That's why we should understand this. Someone that every day in Payojana, material world, our relationship with the material world, spiritual world, our relationship with that, Krishna, and who we are. when Arjuna saw the material world, in the Vishara, he was on his knees crying, shaking. It's horrible. What is it? It's horrible. Take it away. What is it? It's the material world. But because he got it all at once. He saw the true face of the material world. But because we can't take it like that, so we have to hear it in small doses. But because we don't realize what it is, we're still attached. We're still thinking some happiness and some safety here. But there's no actual refuge in the material. There's no shelter in the material world. But we're convinced there's a little bit, so we can find a lot of it. And then on the other side is the we don't appreciate Krishna for what he is and his devotees and his pastimes for what they are. We just think of it, maybe imagination, maybe some nice stories. But But anyway, can I tell another story? It's not quite in the same line, but it's about going back to Godhead. The one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how do I know that I'm going back to Godhead in this lifetime? He said, you chant 16 rounds for the four principles. He said, Prabhupada, how do I know that if I'm actually going to go back in this lifetime? Prabhupada said, are you following? He said, yes. He said, then that's it. He said, Prabhupada, how do I know? Prabhupada said, that is not your concern. In other words, that spiritual master, he's going to decide if we're going back to the town or not. So the spiritual master decides what is the bhakti, not the disciple. And so he said, that's not your concern, that's his concern. So we should be anxious, we should be, he said, our business is to execute the order of the spiritual master. That's all. And then going back to God, it is his prerogative. Very wonderful. I would really like to leave it on that sweet note. It's a very nice explanation. Still you can see practically if you are liking to read about Krishna more than you like to read about something else. You can measure like this, but ultimately, and I think this is the place Pankajanvi Prabhu is coming from, is Krishna consciousness is so nice because ultimately we are taken back to Godhead. Ultimately there's mercy which is taking care of us, and that's wonderful. I want to end the session here. Just ask Malcolm Mooney to get ready to say a few words, maybe some technical things needs to be known, but I just wanted to say thank you very much. This was a very nice summer camp again, and really you made it so wonderful by being here and giving also thank Igor for his Levnik. My God, that was this good. It's becoming better every year, and I also thought very nicely our Gorane was singing yesterday and touching our hearts by his song. Did you also feel that was really a deep thing? And I want to thank our Kirtan stars, the young Kirtan stars. What is your daughter's name?
Lena.
That was not planned, isn't it? She just took the microphone. Lena, dobro Kirtan, dobro Krasny, dobro Srisa. Yes. Very nice. But really, most of all, I want to say thank you for... thank you really for coming and being such serious devotees and being so willing to advance in Krishna consciousness. We can feel now the atmosphere is quite nice. Can you feel it? There's a devotional atmosphere. Bhakti is more present here, and that is because you are eager to come here and to tolerate the storms. And today in my room, I was coming after the bathroom, and all of a sudden, five people were jumping in my room. They were frogs, big like this. And I was just Hare Krishna. I just came from the bathroom, and I was not ready for darshan. You know? Frogs in there. You know, I really thought, this is really finally some simple accommodation. And thank you for tolerating this. But really, we are not here because of accommodations and so on. We want this bhakti atmosphere, and we want that our heart is full of bhakti. And I really want to say, in the mood of Pankajanvi Prabhu, something is happening when you are here. You may not understand, you may not know, but Krishna is working on you, and you will see that when you are back
in your particular towns and so on, that something happened, more purification was going on, more Krishna. So I want to request all of you to take your hands and let us say the prayers to Prabhupada in gratitude. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Parashatya Deshadarine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Dane Vrindavane Shwari Vrishavanu Sati Adeli Ramami Hari Priye Vanchaka safely home, and I wish that whatever presents are given to you during your stay by the deities, by the devotees, may stay in your heart. You may be successful in your attempt to overcome your obstacles in your life, that you become more Krishna. And I wish you that you become more Krishna conscious. Thank you very, very much. And Hare Krishna, also thank you for inviting me again and again. I'm so happy here. Ooh, forget everything else. So nice here. Our Madhavamuni will now give us the final informations.